This is your Polycast for Thursday, January 12th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, Senator Al Franken says he's undecided on Jeff Sessions for Attorney General, and stadium officials get grilled at the Capitol. First, I have to apologize. No podcast yesterday. I was having computer problems, but I think we have everything squared away, so on we go. Both of Minnesota's U.S. senators this week have questioned President-elect Donald Trump's nominee for Attorney General, Senator Jeff Sessions of Alabama. Al Franken and Amy Klobuchar are members of the Senate Judiciary Committee. Our Tom Cran talked to Senator Franken last night. He started by asking him about Donald Trump and whether he had any information about whether it's a valid concern that Russia helped Trump out during the campaign.
I don't know. But what I do know is that Trump has been alarmingly pro-Russian. He has said things about complimentarily about their effort in Syria, which has been disastrous and a humanitarian disaster, working with Assad and killing so many civilians. He threatened to pull the plug on NATO. He's been talking very, very highly of Vladimir Putin, the ex-head of the KGB. There's a reason he's doing that, I guess, but it would help if he would be a little bit more transparent, and he isn't.
Let's get back to Senator Sessions. He said in these hearings that he does trust the reports by U.S. intelligence agencies that the Russian president, Vladimir Putin, here ordered cyber attacks on American systems, including the DNC. So he said that even when the president-elect who appointed him was not going that far, although today Trump said that he came close to admitting that it was Russia and Putin. But does that show there's enough of an independent mindset there, an indication from Senator Sessions that he might act somewhat independently of the president-elect?
I don't necessarily think so. I think he was in an untenable position. All of us senators know that there was unanimity among all the intelligence agencies, so he really had no choice but to say yes. I believe that, and I think that's probably why the president today, or president-elect rather, said what he said today.
Today, your colleague, Senator Cory Booker of New Jersey, took a, if not unprecedented, certainly very unusual step of actually testifying in these hearings against a colleague in the Senate, Senator Sessions. He gave a pretty full-throated declaration that he was not going to support him based on his record on civil rights.
Right.
Do you go that far?
Well, as I said, I'm going to weigh the whole record here and make my decision. I haven't come down definitively on where I'm going to vote, but I'm very, very skeptical about his ability to be a attorney general who's the people's attorney.
To President-elect Donald Trump's news conference today, he and an attorney outlined how he plans to separate himself from his businesses. It seemed like a fairly complicated matter. It would not be divesting, but would involve his sons running the business. Did any of that plan and that lawyer's outline there satisfy any of your concerns that you've said before about potential conflicts of interest with the president-elect and his businesses?
Well, I was sitting in the hearings when he had his during his press conference, but it was described to me what he laid out, and no, it's not satisfactory at all. This is not a blind trust. There's plenty of room for self-dealing here. There's plenty of room for conflicts of interest. This is not traditionally what you do is put things in a blind trust, and of course he'll. You know, if his two sons are running the business, he'll be talking to his two sons.
U.S. Senator Al Franken talking to Tom Cran yesterday. U.S. Bank Stadium has only been open for about 6 months, but it may already be headed for a renovation, at least politically speaking. The agency that runs the $1.1 billion building got a grilling at the Capitol yesterday about perks for stadium officials and guests. Tim Nelson has the story.
The Minnesota Sports Facilities Authority was created in 2012 to own and oversee the new stadium. But lawmakers said today they think that authority has been badly handled.
There's this wonderful stadium that has this issue of being abused.
That's Republican State Senator Julie Rosen of Vernon Center, one of the sponsors of the legislation that built the stadium. She's upset by recent reports that the five-member authority and Executive Director Ted Mondale have brought friends, family, and political allies in as guests to the authority's luxury suite for games, concerts, and food.
Should they get the right of a free suite, free parking, free food? And is that appropriate?
The chair of the stadium authority, Michelle Kelm-Helgen, was at the Capitol today answering questions before the House Government Oversight Committee.
I clearly heard and understood that people did not support having friends and family in these suites, even though that's what had been done at the Dome, and even though that's what's done at Target Field, and it's done at the University of Minnesota and other places. But I heard it, and we immediately addressed it.
They've now banned the practice of inviting friends and family, and Kelm-Helgen says they've already received more than $20,000 in reimbursements from guests the authority brought in, although she concedes that's far short of the comparable value for similar experiences elsewhere in the stadium. Lawmakers also wanted to know more about reports of free food and other perks available to people in the authority's private box at the new stadium. Republican Jim Nash is from Waconia.
I would like to see a cost of the parking that was generated and given to these guests, some of whom were public officials, and whether or not that violates the gift ban that most public officials abide by.
Republican Chris Swedzinski of Ghent in western Minnesota wanted to know why the authority even has suites, ostensibly available to stadium officials to help woo potential tenants who might rent the building or parts of it on the 350 days the Vikings aren't using the stadium. Swedzinski noted that U.S. Bank Stadium has a contract with the SMG Corporation to run the place, unlike the Metrodome, which was both owned and operated by a public agency.
If you've got a company that you've got a guaranteed revenue stream, and then you're going to be worrying about the top cream on the top, do we need to have commissioners in control of this? I mean, to me, you turn those things over to SMG, let them do the sales. If SMG feels that a commissioner or Ms. Kelm-Helgen would be a benefit to the sales, invite her.
That has some lawmakers, like Rosen, the senator who sponsored the stadium legislation, thinking about making changes to the governance there, like possibly paring down the authority to accommodate the management by SMG, or perhaps making appointments to the authority subject to Senate confirmation, much like the dozens of other appointments to departments, committees, councils, and other state panels. As it stands, the governor appoints the chair and two members of the MSFA. Minneapolis appoints two more, since the city is paying off $150 million of the nearly $500 million in taxpayer subsidy to the building. Kelm-Helgen, the authority chair, told lawmakers that she understands the new home for the Vikings is subject to a new level of scrutiny the Metrodome wasn't, but she also added it shouldn't be the only publicly subsidized sports venue getting called to account.
We're waiting for the legislative auditor who's looking at this, and we've talked to him about this, and maybe the legislature addresses it. And it could be a new day that says it doesn't matter if you're the ballpark authority or you're XL or you're the U.S. Bank Stadium, friends and family, these suites and these public buildings will not be used that way. And I hear it and I get it and I understand it.
Lawmakers say they expect the legislative auditor's report on U.S. Bank Stadium suites could be finished as soon as this month. Covering politics, I'm Tim Nelson, Minnesota Public Radio News at the Capitol.
This next one isn't really about politics, but it's an interesting story. A rare but potentially severe tick-related allergy appears to be on the rise in Minnesota. In the last couple of years, at least 24 people in the northern part of the state have suddenly become severely allergic to red meat. The allergy is triggered by a tick bite, but as Dan Crocker reports in northern Minnesota, it's still a mystery as to what kind of tick is to blame.
Back in June, Suzanne Keithley Myers drove up to Aurora on the eastern edge of the Iron Range to pick oyster mushrooms in the woods. The 45-year-old nurse brought back a few mushrooms to her home north of Duluth, but even more ticks.
And I was driving home and just needing to get the crawling things off of me and just tossed them out the window and didn't even look.
But a couple days later, two tick bites developed the bullseye rash that's often associated with Lyme disease. She started to get severe stomach pains. Then she started to itch. She developed hives on her arms and legs, and she began to notice a connection. The reactions often occurred a few hours after she ate red meat, and they got worse and worse.
I remember the last meal of meats, or of mammal meat, that I ate, where I absolutely decided that I had to stop.
She was at a birthday party and indulged on barbecue, but later that night she started to feel a reaction coming on.
I ended up with hives, you know, all over my arms and my legs. Super itchy. I mean, I really felt that I could claw at my flesh. It was a deep itching, and had gut pain, and I felt dizzy and disoriented.
So Keithley Myers Googled meat allergy, and right away she saw something that seemed like a perfect fit, an allergy to something called alpha-gal. It's a carbohydrate, a sugar, that's found in red meat. And the allergy is triggered by a tick bite from a tick called the Lone Star tick. She went to see Dr. Aladdin Candile, an allergist at Essentia Health in Duluth. It turns out Candile has diagnosed the same allergy in 18 patients.
And I see this like at least one patient a month with this allergy.
And he says the reaction can be severe.
And I have patients who passed out as a result of this. And it sometimes it can be fatal as well.
Here's what's surprising about this allergy. So far, it's largely been concentrated in the southeastern U.S., where scientists have linked it to the Lone Star tick. Diagnoses of the allergy have exploded from a couple dozen people when it was first identified about 7 years ago to several thousand today. But if you look at a map of the Lone Star tick's range, it doesn't even make it up to Minnesota. It stops just below the Iowa border. Elizabeth Schiffman is an epidemiologist at the Minnesota Department of Health.
We get sporadic reports of Lone Star ticks, but we don't know of any established populations, because when we've gone out and done that kind of our routine tick surveillance, what we really find are wood ticks, kind of your generic everyday wood tick, and then those black-legged ticks or the deer ticks.
Not Lone Star ticks. So researchers are starting to think there could be something other than the Lone Star tick causing the allergy. Scott Cummins is one of the researchers who first identified the alpha-gal allergy. He's an associate professor of medicine and pediatrics at the University of North Carolina. He says people who've been bitten by different kinds of ticks are now also contracting the allergy.
We have colleagues who've reported patients from southern Sweden and Australia, Central Europe, and now even in Japan, and they have very different ticks. So I don't think it's by any stretch limited to one species of tick.
Cummins says researchers may have been guilty of pigeonholing the allergy on the Lone Star tick. He says the deer tick, which carries Lyme disease, can probably also cause the alpha-gal allergy.
I don't want to alarm people, but I do feel that there probably is legitimate concern that this may be something that, you know, kind of the tip of the iceberg with the cases that y'all have at the moment.
It's been about 6 months now since Suzanne Keithley Myers was diagnosed with alpha-gal allergy.
It makes things really hard. I can't go to potlucks and enjoy myself, and I can't host the same way that I used to.
She says she spent a few months grieving it, but she's connected online with a support group, and she wants to spread the word so that others in Minnesota know the risks. Covering the environment, I'm Dan Crocker, Minnesota Public Radio News, Duluth.
And that's your Polycast for this Thursday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom.